Hey y'all. So we've been talking about the RFCC method, and we talked about repentance, and we've also talked about forgiveness. And today we want to get into the first D, which is community. And community is necessary for accountability purposes. And so a lot of times when you hear me talk about community, you will also hear me talk about accountability. And sometimes I may even interchange the word. And so again, we've talked about repentance. Let me put on D&D. We've talked about repentance. We've talked about renouncing. We've talked about forgiveness as the first couple steps to receiving healing, to receiving restoration, and walking into true freedom, you know, especially after you've experienced shame or condemnation, guilt, regret, from sin. And so next we're talking about community, and I personally have a powerful story about community. I believe community is powerful. I think it's necessary, it's needed, especially when we're on a journey to getting to know Christ. All throughout the journey, I feel like at every point there's a need for community in some capacity or another. I also do believe that it's important for us to pay attention and recognize when God is putting us in a place of separation, not isolation, but separation. So sometimes you will find yourselves, you know, especially as he's continuing to, you know, set you apart, as he's continuing to train and develop you, you will find yourself in seasons where it's looking like all of your friendships are leaving, where friendships are being broken and things of that nature. And what I've come to learn, and I've talked about this in a previous video, is that those seasons are literally the seasons of us being set apart. So we may see it in the moment as, oh, we're being isolated, or we're losing friends because we're growing, or, you know, or we may find it as simple as, me, I feel lonely. And we're thinking that it's loneliness, and really God is separating us or putting us in a season where we can literally develop our relationship and cultivate our relationship with him. But even in those seasons as well, it's important to have community or an accountability partner who can continue to, you know, provoke you to righteousness, who can continue to provoke you to good works. Because if not, we'll find ourselves in that season and not really understanding that this is the place that we're in right now, and this is a good place for us to be in. And we'll begin to think like, man, I'm just so lonely. I'm so lonely. And we'll miss it. And we don't want to miss it. So community is very powerful. And so when I talk about community, I'm going to be talking more about the importance of accountability. And accountability is when you are answerable to another person. It's when you are in a community with other people or another person, you can be accountable or subject to or responsible to report to that person. And so that may look like you have an accountability partner. It could be, you know, someone, your accountability partner needs to be someone who literally, like I mentioned before, in the scripture also says, who can provoke you to righteousness. If your accountability partner is someone who is in the same boat as you, who struggles with the same things you struggle with, who patty cakes or enable your sin or your mess, then that's not an accountability, that's an enabler. And we don't want that, right? We have to be very wise in our choosing of an accountability partner. And we also must make sure that that person can uplift us, right, when we are struggling. But we can also do it vice versa, right? So we want to make sure, it says iron sharpens iron. And so both of you all need to be at a level where y'all can help each other, build each other up, encourage one another. And so, yeah, we have to be very wise when choosing our accountability partners. Yes, because those are the people who are going to be responsible for you. Those are the people who it should be safe for you to communicate with. Those are the people who you should be able to freely come in and confess and like, hey, listen, this is what I'm struggling with right now. This is what I'm going through right now. And this person needs to not be like, girl, it's okay. You know, grace, mercy, love, all of that. This needs to be a person who isn't afraid to tell you when you're doing wrong. A person who isn't afraid to tell you when you messed up or when you need to go repent or when you need to go apologize. This person shouldn't be afraid to literally tell you, like, girl, that was wrong, and you need to go handle that correctly. This is that person. And so not everybody is going to be willing to hold you accountable. And you must also understand that, because you may have some friends who's like, hey, I don't want to be accountable to you. I don't want you to be accountable to me. I don't want the responsibility, because some people truly believe they're like, man, if I hold you accountable, it may ruin our relationship. And so you have to also be open to receive accountability when we're talking about this part. Because if you're not open, you will get offended easily. You will be upset. You know what I'm saying? You'll end up doing more harm to the relationship than good, because you're easily offended when somebody corrects you. So you have to be in a place where you're even open to receiving correction, where you're teachable, and vice versa. And so, yes, in 2013, let's take it back to 2013. So this is like 11 years ago. In 2013, I learned a scripture. And up until this point, I don't think I had ever really heard this scripture or heard like a message preached about this, but I learned a scripture. And since then, this scripture has been like engrafted, written on my heart, my brain, my mind, all the things. Whenever I see like these numbers, I automatically think of these scriptures, because this season was the season where I needed this scripture the most. And this scripture comes from Apostle Paul when he instructs his spiritual son, Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2:22, he says, flee also youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, clarity, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. And so in this season, in 2013, 2014, I'm walking through this season where I'm like, have made a decision, a conscious decision to go all in for Christ, right? Before then, yes, I'm, you know, regularly going to church, all of the things, but I wasn't sold out. You know what I'm saying? I was like in the world, lukewarm, all the things. But around this time of 2013, I've now made a decision, like I'm finna go all in with this thing, with my commitment. I'm finna give you everything I got. And I encountered this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. And again, it says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue clarity, pursue peace. And you're going to pursue all of these things with people in community, with those who call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. And so this is a perfect example of community, because you're going to need, when you're pursuing righteousness, when you're pursuing peace, when you're pursuing faith, when you're pursuing clarity and all of these things, you're going to need a community of people who are also in this pursuit, who is also on this journey with you, and who are doing it out of a pure heart. So it's not just a thing to go and find community of people who are on the same journey or trying to pursue similar things to you, but you want to make sure that you connect with the ones who are doing it out of a pure heart, out of a pure place. Okay. And so that scripture literally was engrafted on my heart. We did things called 222s, where literally people from all different college campuses would come together, and we would literally just pursue God on Friday nights. And it was just so powerful, and it really blessed me in that season that I was in. And it matured me. It helped me. It brought me to a place of like conviction. It helped me literally pursue righteousness. And I can truly say that it was in that season of my life where righteousness was cultivated, where my faith was developed even more. And so I don't know about you, y'all, but a lot of times I found, you know, myself struggling with sin because I had the wrong community of people around me, or I had no community at all. And so when I began to look back, or when I traced back to the root of some of the issues I faced, many of them traced back to boredom. Many of them traced back to being alone, aka loneliness, all of those things. And what I come to realize is boredom is a dangerous place. Boredom is a dangerous place. And there's this saying that, what's the saying? I'm gonna have to pull it up. What's the saying? Okay, the saying is, an idle mind is the devil's playground. And whether you believe that to be true or not, what I found in this season of my life was that this is indeed true. When you are idle, when you are bored, when you're just at home chilling, doing nothing, you ain't got nothing to do, you just chilling, right? Purposeless, you know, that's a dangerous place to be. Or if you're in a state where you're saying, oh, I'm so lonely, I'm so bored, I don't have no friends, I ain't got nothing to do. Like, if you don't figure out how to fill those moments with building relationship with God, with reading your word, with listening to sermons, with prayer and things of that nature, you will find yourself in a dangerous place. Because in those moments, you allow the voices of the enemy to speak louder than the voice of God, because you're not filling yourself up with the things that you need to fill yourself up with. So in those seasons of boredom, right, you'll get a phone call, you'll get a text message, and then you'll be invited to do something you know you shouldn't be doing, or you'll be invited to go somewhere you know you shouldn't be going, or you will just sit at home bored and you will let the enemy convince you that nobody love you, nobody want to hang around you. You know what I'm saying? You'll find yourself on social media and you will see all these people hanging out together. You're like, oh, I didn't get an invite. They must not like me. Oh, they must not be my real friend. Like, you'll just, the enemy will have you thinking all kinds of things in your mind because your mind is idle. And like I said, that boredom is a dangerous place to be. A lot of times when I found myself in mess, it was because I was bored. I didn't have nothing better to do. And so if you're not in community, you need to find some righteous friends, some friends that have a pure heart, who can sharpen you and who won't allow you to be mediocre and who won't allow you to be lukewarm. Community is going to be key to getting from your emotional state, moving from brokenness to wholeness, moving you from your mental state, going from sickness to healing, and most importantly, your spiritual state, moving from dead to life. And so that's going to be so important. And you really like, well, how does community have to do with any of that? And I'm going to talk about it, because it's in that place of boredom and loneliness, you're easy to be lukewarm. You're easily to say yes to things you know you shouldn't be saying yes to because you have nothing better to do, or you think you have nothing better to do, or you choose to prioritize those things versus cultivating or developing your relationship with God or reading the word, because you may think, oh, that's boring. I know a lot of people, and even myself, used to believe or stand on this thing of like, man, being a Christian is boring. There's nothing to do. So I remember when people used to ask me, like, girl, what do you like to do? And I'd be like, I like to go bowling. I like to do this. I like to do this. I like to do this. And they'd be like, that's boring. And it's like, it's only boring to you because you would rather prioritize going to the club. You would rather prioritize smoking and drinking. And for some of you, you believe that unholy living, unrighteous living is just more fun than hanging out and chilling. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can go bowling and have a great time. We can go to the movies and find a good, wholesome movie and have a good time. We can go out to dinner or lunch and have a good time and have wholesome conversations. And a lot of people be like, oh, that's so boring. Like, you can go on a trip, you can go on a vacation as a Christian and still have a good time without being on a boat twerking and all of the things. Like, this thing, it just shows our level of, like, what we define as a good time, what we define as fun, has been skewed. And so we definitely can see how not having the right community can lead us to a mediocre or lukewarm life. And I think the deception is that, man, you're missing out on so much. The deception is they're like, man, they're having more fun than me because they're always going out. They're always doing X, Y, Z. They look happy. But then we have seen over the years how so many people are, they seem to have made it. They seem to have had it all together. They seem to have reached these certain goals and milestones and achievements that we may be desiring to reach. And you will see if you give them a year, if you give them 2-3 years, you will see them now saying like, man, I need to go on a break. I need to go on a sabbatical because I've attained a certain level of accomplishments. I've reached a certain milestone and I still feel unfulfilled. I still feel depressed. I still feel this way. And we hear that, but we don't really believe it. But over the past few years, we've seen it like crazy, especially in like the entrepreneurial space, especially in the like high schoolers and young college students who have been committing suicide over the past few years. And we see like these are the people who have been like some of the most popular people, the kings and queens of their schools, homecoming court and things of that nature. And all of a sudden they go and they commit suicide. And everybody is like, what in the world? What happened? Or you see these influencer people who are very influential in their space, who are like the people, the go-to people in their industry online, entrepreneurs. And then you see them write these posts who saying, we're shutting down shop. We're pausing everything. We're going on sabbatical. I don't know if I'm going to be back. And you come to find out that even though it looked like everybody loved them, they're on everybody's platform. They hit the 6-figure, 7-figure, 8-figure mark. And here they are now confessing like, man, I've been struggling with depression for the past 2-3 years. Man, I've been struggling with this. I've had all these people around me, but yeah, I still feel lonely. And their mental state has gone down. And it's because even though it seems like a lot of people are around them or it seems like they have community, it's not the community that they need. They're still missing something. They're still missing Christ. And so if you're not in community, you must find righteous friends who can sharpen you and who won't allow you to be mediocre or lukewarm, or who will tell you about Jesus. Because when it all boils down to it, a lot of the things that all of these people have in common is that they don't know Christ. They can have all of the money. They can have what it looks like to be all of the nice houses, the nice car, the right relationships, the trips, all of the things that people see with their carnal eye and be like, okay, this shows me that they're at, reached a certain level. And we're looking at these people like, man, this is where we want to be. We're striving to get to that place. And you will realize that these people are all missing the same thing. They're missing a relationship with Christ. And so it keeps them in a place of, yeah, it looks like they're successful on the outside. It looks like they're doing great and well on the outside. But you will come to find out that they're unfulfilled, that they're missing that one true thing that they need. And so when I'm saying it takes you from a place of brokenness to wholeness, when you're in the right community, when you're around people who can provoke you to righteousness, who can provoke you to peace and faith and all of these things, you will find yourself going from a depressed state to a state of joy. When you are around people who can pray for you, who can go out of their way to do what needs to be done, I'll give you an example quickly about how you can go from a place of literally sickness to healing. And like I said, spiritually, you will find yourself when you're in the right community, going from a place of dead, like being dead, because we know sin leads to death, right? And so you'll find your place going from a place where you're just in sin, in sin, in sin, in sin. And now that you're in the right community, now that you have people who can hold you accountable, you move from this place of like a sinful life to a place where you're now living righteously and you're now showing the light of Christ, right? So now you go from a place from deadness to life. And so a few scriptures that you can stand on when we're talking about community, when we're talking about accountability, one will be from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. And it talks about how iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And so it doesn't say how, you know, wood sharpens iron. That's what I was saying. Like, you can't be in a place where you like, well, I'm going to let my homegirl who I used to go drink smoke club with be my accountability partner, and you're growing and this person wants to stay. And so you'll find yourself, that's what I said, you'll find yourself in a season where a lot of the relationships that you once had, whether it was in high school, whether it was in college, when you were in the world living your best life, you will find yourself shedding off that dead weight, shedding off those relationships. And even if it doesn't like end, it may be where y'all no longer find yourself having things in common, or the relationship just over time begins to just grow apart. And so because iron sharpens iron, you can't have an accountability partner who is who struggles with the same thing you struggle with, because then y'all will be struggling together and y'all will think it's okay. I told someone not too long ago that it's really dangerous when you're around somebody and they're like, man, they're telling you their struggles, and like, man, have you ever struggled with this? And you can sense or discern that their heart isn't to see, like, oh, like their heart isn't to see, like, do you have a testimony of overcoming this? Their heart is to be like, oh, well, so-and-so struggled with this too, so I'm good. You know what I'm saying? It's like to make them feel better about their struggle, because this person also struggles with this. So you have to be careful that it doesn't turn into like a bonding session. Like, oh man, you struggle with pornography. Oh, me too. Like, no, that's not what we're doing. That's not what it looks like for iron to sharpen iron. And so you'll find yourself moving away from those relationships. Like, hey, both of us can't be struggling. Somebody got to overcome this thing. And I want to be around somebody who overcame it versus somebody who's still struggling and who telling me like, man, we're going to get through this eventually. Like, no, brother, I need to get through this now. I need to be done with this today. Okay. I need that person who like, girl, turn it off. I need the person who like, give me my phone. Give me your phone. Let me take it. You know what I'm saying? I need the person who calls like, hey, what you doing? Where you at? I'm finna come over. You know what I'm saying? These are the kind of friends that we need. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold coat is not a threefolded cord. I said cold. Threefolded cord is not easily broken. And so in this scripture, a lot of times we only think of like marriage, right? And we only think about marriage. And we think when it's talking about that threefolded cord, that it's just you, your spouse, and God. But when it talks about two are better than one, you can also apply that to, you know, your relationships outside of marriage. Like, you can apply that to your friendships. Like, no, if I have a good accountability partner, there is going to be a good reward for our labor. If I fall, that person should be able to hold me up. If they fall, I should be able to hold them up. We shouldn't be like falling together. You know what I'm saying? That's a sign that you don't have a good accountability partner. But then even worse than that, it says woe to the person who is alone, because if you fall, you ain't got nobody to hold you up. So you at home, not only are you bored, not only are you lonely, not only are you depressed, but now you're falling and you ain't got nobody to call to be like, hey, I'm over here struggling. Or you choose not to call the person who can hold you accountable because you secretly enjoyed it. You know what I'm saying? And so it's important for us not to, even in the seasons where God is separating us, it's important for us to have someone who we can call on, a leader, a mentor, a friend, a family member, a parent, you know, a pastor that we can call on in those times of need. Because sometimes it's easy to choose to hold yourself accountable. You know, I've heard a few people say, like, I'm holding myself accountable. I don't know how they work. I don't know how it works. But when we try to take the easy way out or the secretive way out, more than likely we'll find ourselves back where we started. So if you're thinking, like, I'm going to hold myself accountable by putting an app on my phone or turning my phone off at a certain time, you know how easily it is if you're the only one who can hold yourself accountable for you to go back and turn that thing back on or turn that app off or delete the app off your phone. You're going to continue to find yourself in that place because you refuse to get accountability. You refuse to receive correction. You refuse to be teachable. And people don't like correction. Correction is not, it doesn't feel good all the time. And so if you're a person who doesn't like correction, or if you're a person who doesn't like rebuke, if you're a person who is easily offended, then this community piece, this accountability piece will be hard for you. And so you have to get to a place where you're like, Lord, deal with my heart. Why don't I like accountability? Why don't I like rebuke? Why don't I like to receive correction? Y'all, when I was in 2013, 2014, I used to think something was wrong with me, because I would be like, I would see people get rebuked often, and I'd be like, Lord, rebuke me. Like, why am I not getting rebuked? I used to be that person who was like desiring and seeking rebuke. And I think, you know, in that moment, I thought something was wrong with me. But I think, you know, when God puts you in a place where you like, no, I want the rebuke. I want the correction. I want someone to tell me that if I'm doing something wrong, tell me so I can get it right. You know what I'm saying? I'm a second born. And so I learn from other people's mistakes. So if I see my brother doing something, I'm not doing it. If he got in trouble for it, it don't make sense for me to do it. Because it's just, you know what I'm saying? And so for me, as a second born, I've learned to be that person who's like, no, I'm going to learn from your mistakes. Because some of us truly believe that, You don't want to learn from other people's mistakes. You want to go through that process, even though it could save you time, it could save you money, it could save you mental peace, it could save you all of those things. You would rather go through the same thing somebody else went through versus learning from their mistakes. Because I hear people say, you know, sometimes they just gotta learn it on their own. Sometimes they just gotta go through it on their own. It's like, no, tell me. Tell me if I'm doing something wrong. Tell me how you overcame. Tell me what you did to not have to still struggle with this. Don't have me out here repeating the same mistakes you repeated and causing me to be delayed, causing me to be stagnated and all of those things. So when you're finding yourself in a place where I'm going to hold myself accountable, I'm going to let an app hold me accountable. You know what I'm saying? That's dangerous. And so we want to make sure we're applying these scriptures and that we're actually implementing them as well. Other scriptures, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, it says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So when you are in accountability, when you are in community, now you all can edify one another. And what does this word edify mean? Edify, it literally means to instruct or to improve someone morally or intellectually. And so if someone is edifying you or you're edifying someone, you're educating them, you're instructing them, you're teaching them, you're enlightening them, right? You're helping to cultivate or to coach or to train them in the ways of God, in the ways of righteousness. And so we want to be able to cultivate relationships with people who can edify us. And we want to be around people who also are willing to be edified by us. We don't want to just be in one-sided relationships where, you know what I'm saying? They want to edify us all the time. But when it's time for us to correct them, they don't want to receive it. And I had to learn it even through some of my relationships before. Like, oh, you want to tell me when something wrong, but when I tell you, you don't want to receive it like that. Or you want me to tell you my struggles so you can pray for me, but you're not saying nothing to me. And so when I'm saying, how can I pray for you? Oh, okay, I'm good. And it's like, oh, something is not right. Now, either there's trust issues or something, or you're not willing to be corrected. You're not willing to expose your sin. You're not willing to be provoked to righteousness. You're not willing or ready to receive accountability for whatever reason it may be. And for me, that doesn't help because I need somebody where we can do this together. You know what I'm saying? Then that's a safe space. If you're around people where you're telling them all your struggles and they not telling you the things, be careful, because you will find yourself in a place where somebody is monitoring all the stuff you're doing and they could easily use that against you. And so you want to make sure that it's somebody who's trustworthy, someone who is pure in heart. So going back to 2 Timothy 2:22, like, you're doing this with people who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. And then we also have Ephesians 5:11, and it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And so when we're talking about community and accountability, if you're choosing to remain in relationship with people who exemplify unfruitful works of darkness, who participate in unfruitful works of darkness, who desire or prefer or prioritize these unfruitful works, you need to flee. In 2 Timothy 2:22, again, it says, flee these youthful lusts. Flee from around these people who will cause you to go down a path of destruction. Flee from hanging around people who will cause you to go back to sin. So if you say, hey, I'm no longer drinking, but you're around people who drinking all the time and who I'm like, hey girl, it's just one little drink, it's just one little shot, like, you're choosing to be in fellowship with these people. And it's not to say that, oh, I gotta cut you off because you still in sin, I'm trying to get out of sin, or I'm no longer doing this sin. It's not about cutting people off. I got people, people who I consider my best friends since middle school, we are not on the same path. The direction that we're going is totally, completely different. But I've never once said, oh, I cut y'all off, I ain't talking to y'all no more, we not friends. At any moment, either one of them can call me, text me, and it's going to be like, hey girl, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? But what you will see is, I don't have much in common with you. You know what I'm saying? So the conversation may be shorter. Or you may see the things that I like to do, you don't like to do, or the things you like to do, I'm not doing it no more. And so when it comes to hanging out, you may think like, oh, we ain't really got nothing to do because I want to go to the club and she want to go out to eat. You know what I'm saying? Priorities begin to change. Desires begin to change. And you have to recognize and be okay with it. But when you're in a relationship with someone and they're continuing to provoke you to unfruitful works, or telling you like, hey girl, I'm finna go to this smoke session, like, come with me. You know you used to like it, like, you ain't gotta smoke. So on the way there, you like, they telling you you ain't gotta smoke, but then when you get there, the temptation is all around. It doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? And then we got Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25. And it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And so we want to provoke people to love. We want to provoke our community to good works. We want to be able to be provoked to love. We want to be able to be provoked to good works. And the Bible says, do not forsake to assemble ourselves together. And so we want to make sure we're in community with people. And sometimes it's not just the people who are currently around you. I have friendships and relationships with people who are not living in the same state as me, but I probably connect with them way more than people who are in the same state as me. Because these are like my go-to people. These are my people who, you know what I'm saying? If I need to talk, if I need prayer, I'm going to you. And they may not be in my local body. They may not be in my, you know, physical space or community, but I can call them, or I can, like, hey, I'm finna book a flight. You know what I'm saying? Or we finna meet up at this conference. And it's gonna be provoking unto love, or provoking unto good works. We're gonna be assembling ourselves together and exhorting one another, encouraging one another, praying for one another, supporting one another. Okay. And so going back to the other part where we were talking about how having the right community can be the difference between life and death, right? Sickness and health. And so if we talk about the story from, like, the book of Mark in chapter 2, we remember that there was a man who was paralyzed, and Jesus was in a house in Capernaum preaching, right? And the house was so crowded. If we remember the story, the house was so crowded where at a certain point, nobody was able to enter it no more. And at one point, a group of friends, they wanted to get their friend, who was this man who was paralyzed, to Jesus. And so their desire for their friend was that he be healed, because they knew Jesus was going around doing all of these miracles. And they were like, we got to do whatever it takes to get our friend this healing. And when we're thinking about accountability, when we're thinking about community, when we're thinking about those who can get us from a state of sickness to health, those who can get us from a place of death to life, we want to think of friends like this, who are going to make sacrifices for us, who are going to go out of their way for us to get what we need, right? In the most pure way, because we don't want people making sacrifices for ungodly things, right? And so they were so desperate for their friend's healing that they ended up taking the roof off of this house that Jesus was in, and they began to lower their friend down. How desperate do you have to be for your friend's healing that you're finna go and take somebody's roof apart so your friend can get in, so your friend can get what they need? Get this, the Bible tells us that it wasn't because of the man's faith that he received his healing. It wasn't because of nothing that the man could do on his own. It wasn't because of nothing that that man could do. It wasn't because Jesus just even loved him so much that he did it. It says, but because he saw their friend, because Jesus saw the man's friend's faith, the man's community faith, the man's accountability partner's faith, that man was healed. So that's why it's important for you to get around people who got some faith. People who will believe God for something concerning you. People who are not selfish and who aren't just looking for their own things to get done. Like somebody who gonna pray you down. Somebody who gonna fast for you. Somebody who gonna go out their way so that you can get what you need. And we see that beautifully in Mark chapter 2. And if you want to read it, it's verses 1 through 12. And so I want to just talk about, like, how you may be in a season of your life, or you may need to get into a season of your life where you need to spend some time reevaluating your friendships and your relationships and your community. And you begin to ask yourself, even just going off of Mark chapter 2, begin to ask yourself, like, how desperate are my friends for my deliverance? How desperate are my friends for my healing? How desperate are my friends for my freedom and my breakthrough? How desperate are my friends for me to live a righteous and holy life? How desperate are my friends for my freedom? How desperate are my friends for my restoration? How desperate are my friends for my eternity, for my destiny to be fulfilled, right? Not in a selfish way, because you also need to do this vice versa. Like, and how desperate am I for my friend's healing? How desperate am I for my friend's deliverance? How desperate am I for my friend to fulfill their destiny? How desperate am I? Like, not only are we evaluating friendships on the scale of, like, how desperate are they for me? But we need to do it and think, like, well, how desperate am I for this person? Because if you find yourself in a relationship or a friendship with someone and you're like, man, I really don't care if they get delivered. I really don't care if they, you need to figure that out on your end too. Okay. And so ask yourself, like, how far are your community of people willing to go so that you can receive what you need when you are unable or unwilling to do it for yourself. So if you find yourself in a place of depression, you don't want to pray, you feel like you don't even have a capacity to pray, you need to have community of people who will be like, hey, you might not got it in you, but I got some strength. I got some fire in me, and I'm going to use it to pray you out of that state of depression. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it can even be your spouse. Like, nah, brother, we finna come on up out of here. We ain't got time to be sitting up and wobbling up in this thing. Like, let's pray this thing through. Listen, it was the faith of his community, the faith of his friends, that his sins were forgiven and he was able to receive healing. And not only was he forgiven, Jesus healed him, and the man was able to arise and pick up his own bed, the thing that he was lowered down on, and he was able to pick that thing up and walk out. So, man, this is a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. Community is so powerful. But we see in these points, that in these scriptures, that healing can happen when we confess. Healing can happen also when we are in community and have accountability. So James 5:16 also says, confess your faults one to another. You can't just be like, if you just, Lord, I did this. Because sometimes we try to say, oh, well, I confess my sins to God, because we're trying to avoid confessing it to other people. We're trying to avoid exposing ourselves. We're trying to avoid, you know what I'm saying, any kind of correction that we can get from our friends or people. And the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's why also you need to have a community of people who are righteous. You need to have an accountability person who is righteous. If you find yourself in an accountability relationship with someone and you like, oh, the stuff this person on is suspect. The stuff this person stand for, the stuff they post on social media, the stuff they be saying, the stuff they be entertaining, it's something ain't right. Why you still in accountability with them? You need to have people who are righteous, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Not a lukewarm person, not an unrighteous person. And that's not you saying like, hey, you can't be my accountability because you still struggle with sin. Like, you just gotta be wise, okay? If you find yourself always desiring to be alone, beware. This is different from God separating you from for a season. You need community. If you find yourself bored all the time, you need to figure out, like, what is this? Why do the enemy want me to be bored? Why do the enemy want me isolated? And ask God to surround you with godly community, that the Holy Spirit will literally guide you to the right relationships. Ask that the Lord will begin to connect you with people who will provoke you to righteousness and good works. And then again, write this anchor scripture on your heart. Memorize it. Stand on it. Believe it. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, clarity, peace with those that call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. And then I want you guys to pray. Pray that any relationship that you are in right now that does not glorify God, that relationship be removed, that God will give you the grace and the courage to leave the relationship. Why? Because it says flee youthful lust. And you're supposed to be fleeing these things. So if you're in a relationship that doesn't glorify God, it can only take you down one path. So you want to ask God for the strength and the courage and the grace to be able to get up out of those relationships that are going to continue to have you continuing the same cycles. And you need to pray that every relationship that causes you to feel empty, that causes you to feel drained, that those relationships also be removed. Pray that every relationship that leads you down a path of destruction is cut off. And be okay with relationships ending because they were seasonal. I had to learn it around that same season of 2013, 2014, 2015. In that season of me growing and developing, like a lot of my middle school, high school friendships, they began to just get disconnected. And I'm like, Lord, what is this? What in the world is this? Or people who I was even cool with in ministry, you know, if they would leave and be hurt or offended at something, I would be like still trying to reach out, connect, and they're being short now. And I'm like, what? I ain't did nothing to you. Like, why? What's happening? And I would like still try to reach out. I would still try to connect. I would still try to hang out because I'm thinking like, you my friend. We cool. We ain't beefing. We ain't got nothing. You left, but they ain't got nothing to do with me. And so I'm thinking like, what's up? And I had to let go of people, right? Not because I cut them off, but they literally cut me off because they decided to go another route. They decided to go down another path. And some of these same people, they're shacking up with their boyfriends, with their girlfriends. They're doing whatever they want to do. And I'm like, oh, that was a seasonal relationship. Oh, this person was in my life for a season, but it's okay if they're no longer in my life. It's okay if we're no longer friends or if we no longer communicate. It's not that I don't like them or they don't like me. It was just their time in my life is up. It was for a season. And if we're not okay with people being seasonal friendships, we'll find ourselves trying to hold on to dead weight. We'll find ourselves trying to hold on to relationships and friendships and people who are not meant to be. And then also be okay with doors closing that should have been closed, whether that's relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Even it could be relationships of coworkers, jobs and things of that nature. Be okay with God closing the door. Because you may think like, man, I lost my job. And it's like, no, God had to get you up out of that area, out of that community of people. Because sometimes you'll use the excuse of like, man, well, this is my job. You know, when I was a teacher, man, teachers, oh, Jesus. When I was a teacher, y'all, I would be so grieved because I would hear the way teachers talk about students. And I was a special educator. So my students would get the brunt of the talk, okay? But just hearing how they would talk about students and stuff like that would literally grieve me because I'm like, why are you here? Why are you here if this is how you feel about the students who are being entrusted in your care for all these amount of hours a day? And not only that, but like even when I would come in the room, I remember a teacher told, I walked into a room and it was like teachers and they were in there talking. They was like, hey, we got to stop cussing because Miss James in the room. Or they would literally be like, hey, we can't talk about this because Miss James, you sure can't. Like, because they know, like I never as a teacher had to tell other teachers that I didn't curse. But while they were in the break room, in the meetings and stuff, cursing and all of that stuff, because I didn't indulge in the same kind of communication as them, because I wasn't laughing when they were saying certain things, you know what I'm saying? Because I wasn't engaging in those same practices, they began to soon realize like, oh, Miss James don't curse. Oh, it wasn't Miss James, it was Miss Worlds. Miss Worlds don't curse, Miss Worlds don't do this, Miss Worlds don't engage in the gossiping or the talking about students. And so eventually when I would come around, they would change what they were saying, or they would wait till I would leave the room to do whatever they need to do or say whatever they need to say. Or they would literally be, okay, y'all stop cursing. Even my students began to learn it. I remember I told one student one time, I was like, listen, I don't even curse. So there's no possible way you coming in my classroom and that you going to be cursing in front of me. It's not going to happen. And it never happened again. Sometimes you just got to be that person. So be okay with relationships ending. Be okay with doors closing, because sometimes even in your workplace, the environment is so toxic that either you got to get up out of there or you got to be such a light that they begin to change the culture. And then last but not least, pray that God make you a good friend. It's not enough for you to just have people who are willing to sacrifice for you, people who are willing to go out of their way for you to get your healing, for you to get your deliverance. You also too need to be a good friend, because you can't expect to have good friends and you're not a good friend. And so here's a reminder, take some time today, this week, this month to reevaluate your community, establish the roles that people have in your life, and then set boundaries as needed, because some not everybody is going to be an accountability partner. Not everybody should be in your close-knit circle of friends. Some people are going to be at a distance, right? So you need to be able to identify, like, okay, this is this person. This is the role they play in my life. And these are the boundaries that I have with this person. With this person, I consider you a friend, but not that type of friend who I'm going to share my struggles with. You know what I'm saying? Also reflect on the type of friend and stop calling everybody your friend. Woo! I tell somebody this all the time. Like, stop calling everybody your friend. Just because y'all had a relationship, just because y'all once connected in college or high school, that doesn't make them your friend. But also reflect on the type of friend you are. Feel free to ask people in your community, like, hey, what type of friend do you think I am? What type of friend do you consider me to be? Do you think I'm a good friend? Have I been a good friend to you? How can I change? How can I improve? How can I make progress on being a good friend to you? Or even ask your friends, be like, hey, y'all, what does a good friend look like? How can we better become better friends and be okay with constructive criticism? And then make adjustments. All right, that's all I got for y'all. So definitely think about this, implement these things, and begin to reevaluate your community and begin to reflect on you yourself as a friend and how you can make improvements to be a better friend, to be that iron that can sharpen iron, and to be that person who can provoke other people to good works and to righteousness and all of those things. And don't forget to engrave 2 Timothy 2:22 on your heart. All right, y'all. Bye.